for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Hour number three of the show. Ravens back at practice today, getting ready for Sunday night's matchup against the undefeated Buffalo Bills. Justin Tucker been under some scrutiny this year. Met with the media yesterday and talked about the missed field goals. What, three games, three misses? What the hell, man?
Striking the ball really, really well. You know, not just in practice, not just in pregame warm-ups, but for the most part throughout the course of the game. And then I have let three kicks get away from me early this season. But today we had another really good day at practice. Plan on having another one tomorrow, and I'm confident in what Nick has been doing and what Jordan has been doing.
So basically, he said, you know, basically says not the holder or, you know, the snapper, which was, you know,
Nick
kind of
Moore,
ridiculous.
Jordan, yeah. Stout,
yeah. And he said he's been, Bob, I mean, because when you look at his PATs, and those are 35 yards, I mean, he's striking it right down the middle, perfect, boom. And, you know, I mean, Bob, I think it's this. I think he's got a hit for his confidence. You know, the PATs, that's not going to cut it. But he's got to hit a long field goal for his confidence. And I don't think in a tight game, Bob, I don't know that Harbs gives him that opportunity. I think it's got to be kind of like when Hyder would put Kimbrell in. You know, when it's like if it's a blowout or something like that, okay, we can afford to give him a shot here to get his confidence.
You're talking about long field goals.
Yes. I'm talking about 50-plus.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, the 46-yarder is the worst one he's hit. I mean, because that was awful. I mean, that was bad. That was all from the get-go.
Right. Now, we heard John Harbaugh say about technique in relation to Justin Tucker. So, Justin, what technique are we talking about here that Harbaugh referenced?
So there are always things for us as a unit to clean up. You know, that's no different from one week to the next, whether we're making everything from the logo, you know, 6 for 6 or 7 for 7 throughout the course of a game or, you know, a couple of games. We're still going to come in regardless, and, you know, we're going to nitpick at every little thing that we can because we feel like it's important.
See, he was talking about the group. Not the group. What is your technique? Well, I mean, what is the, you know, they're not kicking. Because you just said that the snaps have been good, the holds have been good. So what is the technique that is you're missing on? Did he go into that at all? Because there's something wrong there. And it doesn't, seems like it doesn't happen in practice. And it doesn't happen in warm-ups. But.
Right, and I've talked about it. I'm not saying it's every kick that's missed, and it's only been a few, but he seems to be missing to the left.
All three were left. All yeah. Three. And, Bob, it's one a game, you know, and he is, percentage-wise, I think he's second worst in the league. He's 31st in the league.
Oh, like he's in his 60s right now.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it yesterday, extra points. He's right down a pipe.
Right down the middle. And, I mean, you know, perfect. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, you know, if I was coaching him, I'd say, all right, let's line up the film from your 46-yarder and then your PAT. What's different?
All right, Justin Tucker, how do you let this, or not let, I should say, the recent string of misses affect you in the mental aspect of it?
I think that goes back to what I was just saying, that you know, you can never let the highs feel too high or the lows feel too low. You know, at the times, in the times where it seems just easy, like we're making everything right down the middle and it's just, you know, it looks like it's a piece of cake, I promise you it's not. You know, we're always working on something. You know, I do want to emphasize, when the highs are high, when we are making kicks the way that we expect to, it's not, you know, something that we necessarily celebrate.
I would say, Bob, to me, it's kind of like a hitter in baseball, man. If you're on a roll, if you're hitting it good and, you know, you're 5 for 8 or whatever. Your confidence, I can hit, that ball looks huge
sure.
to me.
Or you're shooting a basketball yes. and everything you throw up goes in.
Right. Same thing with him. And Bob, when's it been where he's had to go talk to the media on a Wednesday?
Never.
Right.
Not that I recall, right. unless it's Wednesday after kicking a 70-yarder or something like that, you know?
Thank you. So there is some problem yeah. here.
Well, remember, John Harbaugh kind of consoling him, but kind of boosted him up after the game?
Yep.
It's like, I love you, man, giving him that publicly. Maybe that could have been a public display of, hey, we got you, or I don't know.
I'm guessing that Tucker went to the media. That would be my guess. He's kind of a stand-up kind of guy. I would think, just because I'm sure there was a lot of requests to talk to him, Bob, because they want to know. So I'll bet you that he came out and talked to them.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Let's get to Lamar Jackson. Hey, you guys won, and you were winning big. But, Lamar, what the hell happened in that fourth quarter?
I believe when another team's scoring, and we just getting off the field and not helping our defense out, that's the frustrating part. And, you know, it's like, man, we got to do something, too. We can't just let another team look like they're just steamrolling to make a comeback, because it's been happening in the past, and we wasn't trying to let that happen again.
The thing is they did. They did. They took it down there, and they missed a field goal. Otherwise, you're up 31-3 or 6, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, and then the other time you get the ball, you're 3rd and 3, and you have the incompletion to Andrews. My personal opinion, I wish they would have ran it twice. You know, hey, Todd, I'm Harbs. Todd, you got 2 plays to make it, so, you know, run it twice. They haven't stopped Henry. He's ever, you know,
hey, let's run it 6 yards of carry.
Right. And so and then when they had to, really had to with 2-something to go, they did it. So 2 out of the 3 times, they did do it.
And finally, Lamar was asked, how do you avoid that sort of thing happening again?
Continue to put points on the board, you know, continue to move the ball. I don't really try to look at it like just keep the clock rolling, you know, but if anything, try to make that happen too, but trying to put points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2019, they were Bob, it was like you might as well turn off TV because it's going to be like they're going to run the ball for 8 straight minutes. I mean, it is what it is. You know, but that's what they got to continue to. And like he said, they got to score points because your defense is giving up like 26 points a game. You better come in with a mindset, we got to score points. And we need touchdowns, not field goals. We got to be great in the red zone. That's what we got to be.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, buy or sell. Let's count that dough. Talk about the sports subjects of the day. Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio. He's based in Buffalo. Talk about the Bills. This surprising, I guess. 3-0 start. And then the American League East report and beyond. We talk about playoff clinching scenarios and the scores from last night. And look at today's schedule. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll look at the Bills. Vinny will defensively. 3-0. I mean, I don't know, Miami's, they knocked 2 out of the game. Trevor Lawrence is all discombobulated. Is the defense as good as they've looked the last 2 weeks? We'll get into tonight's game as we start our pick segment for week 4 in the National Football League. And then Mike Harmon, we'll talk real and fantasy football with him. Who are the daily fantasy plays? Giants and Cowboys coming up tonight, a game you can hear on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the #1 checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Plenty of sports subjects to get into. Orioles-Yankees finale coming up tonight, 7:05. Got Thursday Night Football here on The Fan. Giants and the Cowboys. Ravens are hosting Buffalo on Sunday. Maryland's at Indiana. Saturday afternoon, a game you can hear on The Fan and other things in between. But right now, let's count that late week dough by yourself.
Yeah, we're making some money today, Bob. The Dow's up 249. The S&P's up 15. NASDAQ is up 67. DraftKings are up 48 cents, 41.58. Under Armour up 30 cents, $8.12 now.
Get started in the NFL today. The Patriots, they gave Drake May his first real taste of NFL action last Thursday in that loss to the Jets. He replaced Jacoby Brissett. There was under 5 minutes to play, so not the most time out there, but that hasn't stopped Patriots fans from getting excited. Now they're starting to call for him to be the starter moving forward, the main thought process being, what do you have to lose? Well, the O-line that's in front of whoever's playing quarterback, it's been very shaky, and a veteran like Brissett's been running for his life at times. Vinny, buy or sell, starting Drake May without a proper O-line would be counterproductive to his development.
Yeah, just ask Bryce Young. I totally agree with that, Norm. I mean, you gotta protect. You gotta protect. And, you know, Washington's doing a pretty decent job, but they've added some guys there, and they're protecting Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams got sacked 8 times. So, you know, protection is what, because they need a little extra more time.
More O-line talk here. Jets tackle Morgan Moses, a familiar name. He suffered a knee injury in that game against the Patriots last week. But after some feared the worst for him, it sounds like he's only going to be missing a few weeks. They didn't put him on IR, which means they probably expect him to be back within a four-week span. In the meantime, rookie first-rounder Olu Fashanu will get his chance to start at right tackle. Mm-hmm. Question is, what happens when Moses is ready to return? Last year, remember, the Ravens were rotating some support into right tackle to help keep Moses as fresh as possible. Bob, buy or sell, we will see the Jets implement a similar strategy this year.
I'll soft buy it, I guess. I don't understand or know what Fasano is going to bring to the equation. I know Denver got 7 sacks last week against Baker Mayfield in Tampa. So maybe old Aaron Rodgers could be running for his life a little bit against this Broncos defense. But I'm going to have to plead ignorance on the tackle situation there with the Jets. So I'll soft buy it or soft sell, whatever happens first.
I would bet, Norm, before it's all said and done, Fashano's going to be having to play left tackle because the dude from the Cowboys, he's always hurt. Who's their starting left tackle?
The old guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been around forever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would think that, you know, ideally, the way it would be, you know, like when Moses gets back healthy, you know, and if that guy gets hurt, then Fashanu, boom, he can go over to left tackle because that's what he played at Penn State.
Yeah. Moses is old as Moses.
Yeah.
Cowboys versus Giants is your week four opener tonight on Thursday Night Football. And for Dallas, it will actually be an unfamiliar situation. They have never been a road team on a short week. I'll say that again. Never been the road team on Thursday football. For years, teams were held to one Thursday game. And of course, their annual Thanksgiving placement always counted for their Thursday game. And as we know, that's always at home. We hear all the time about how these quick turnarounds, 3 days of rest, 3 days to prepare, that usually favors the home team because of traveling, eating up valuable limited time that they have. Vinny, are you buying or selling this will be of any impact tonight?
I'll sell it. I'll say it. The thing that's going to impact is, you know, fundamentally how they play on defense. That's the biggest, because their defense is stunk. And they haven't been able to stop the run to anybody. And fundamentally, they're so poor right now. That's what really matters. I don't know. I don't I don't think it really matters where they were playing. If they're going to play defense like they've been playing, doesn't matter.
Little NBA news here. Vince Carter, he's set to enter the Basketball Hall of Fame, I believe, next month. And as a result, the Raptors will be retiring his number in November. It'll be the first jersey retirement for Toronto, who better than the guy who was pretty much synonymous with that uniform in his prime. Things probably didn't end the way either side would have wanted. He did request a trade that led to his departure from Toronto, but word is that some high-ranking members of the Toronto organization didn't want to see him be the first to have his number retired. Instead, they thought that honor should go to Kyle Lowry, who helped the team win a title, still active in the league till this day. Buy or sell, Bob, Carter more than worthy of having his number retired despite no championship hardware.
100% buy. And he got them into the playoffs. I mean, that was an expansion team that he helped get into the postseason 3 years into their existence, I believe it was. His slam dunk contest performance in a Raptors uniform is iconic and will never be forgotten. Arguably the greatest slam dunk performance in the history of that, which I haven't watched in years, full disclosure, but I was watching it back in those days. Vince Carter absolutely deserves to have his number hung up there in those Raptors, with all due respect to John Long and Walt Williams, who played for the Raptors, and Marcus Camby. Vince Carter's the dude there, I would think.
Maybe. And we'll close with this. NFL kickers, we were just talking about Justin Tucker. He might not be making kicks from beyond 50 yards, but the rest of the league, they sure are. Even with a step back in week 3, the success rate on kicks from 50 plus yards is 76% on the season. In weeks 1 and 2, it was 89%. Either way, still on pace to be increased over years past. Last year, for example, kickers combined to hit 68% of kicks from beyond 50 yards. Buy or sell, Vinny, the increase that we're seeing this year will last the entire 2024 season.
I'll sell it. And the reason I'll sell it, Norm, is weather. When it gets cold, that ball's not going to travel as much. It gets windier. So I'll say that it will not carry on throughout the season.
Speaking of kickers, Nolan, we had a discussion, Vinny and I, off the air a couple of days ago. The worst kicker in 2024 would be the best kicker in the NFL 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely into the seven. I mean, Roy Jarrell is a guy that barely made 50% of his kicks, and he's got 3 Super Bowl rings. Jan Stenerud was kind of the outlier. That's why he's the first kicker to get in a Canton. But these guys are booming field goals. Back in those days, the straight-on kicker.
Yeah, like Fred. I mean,
Mark Moseley won an MVP kicking like that.
Very rarely, if I can recall, that they would even try a 50-yard kick.
Yeah, there were a few and far between. And like these guys, you talk about the evolution of a position in football, specialist. Ray Guy was, again, like an outlier back in those days. Everybody kicks like 50, 60-yard bombs nowadays.
No doubt.
And the funny thing is that coincides with modern football, where there's this insistence on going for it on fourth down, and teams find themselves in fringe field goal range where kickers are capable, like you said, but teams still want to go for it because they're seeking seven.
Yeah, well, back in the day,
in the olden days,
there was,
where things were better.
There was no such thing as analytics, right, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, if like you're on the other team's 42-yard line and it was fourth and 2, they're punting.
Yes.
They're not even going for it. They're punting. Because if you went for it, you were considered crazy. And look at this renegade kind of guy. Now everybody sort of does it.
Yeah. Except, you know, Staley was a little, you know, that's why he's no longer with us.
Yeah, it's fourth. Yeah, he'd go for it from his own 5. Yeah. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Hey, the Bills are 3-0. Vic Carucci's going to tell us why from NFL Network Radio. Get to the American League East report and beyond. Look at some scores from last night. Look at today's schedule. Orioles in New York taking on the Yankees tonight. Corbin Burns against Garrett Cole. Burns going for the sweep. Trim that lead in the East down to 3. Put all the pressure on New York as they'll host the Pirates. Orioles are taking on the Twins. Still fighting for postseason stuff. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. We'll get to the film breakdown of the Bills' defense as Vinny sees it. Buffalo's got an ability to get to the quarterback, but are they vulnerable in the secondary? Stick around. You'll find out. All right, let's talk about
undefeated, got it. Surprising. We'll get to that in a second. But after the blowout against Jacksonville, Josh Allen met with the media, said some things. Were they taken out of context in regard to he loves this year's team? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Vic. There, everybody gets to eat. You're not worried about feeding certain people. I guess the implying the Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis thing. Did Josh Allen, because he had to clarify a little bit yesterday, were things taken out of context, or was that a not-so-subtle jab at guys no longer with the Bills?
Yeah, it felt like the not-so-subtle jab, and I'm not sure even his, the way he handled it yesterday when he addressed the media changed anything on that count. Look, that narrative or that feeling, I should say, has been out there really since camp began, and you watch practices and then the theme of everybody eats keeps being repeated. Well, I mean, we didn't hear that before, and why are you hearing it so much now? Because the person who demanded the largest plate on that table is no longer with the team.
And the thing about it, Vic, is if I had to put down one key to the game Sunday, I think the team that has the better quarterback wins.
No question. These are two really good ones. But in my opinion, and having spent time watching the replays of the Ravens last three games, I don't think there's any comparison. Josh is playing the best football, and that includes,
agreed,
throw Patrick Mahomes in the conversation.
No doubt.
Throw the NFC quarterbacks in the conversation. Josh Allen's playing at a different level.
I agree with you 100%. Now, let me ask you this, because I watched the film too, Vic, and I think that the Bills are going to have a hard time running. Put Josh Allen to the side. Forget Josh Allen. But I'm not a big fan of their offensive line. I thought Dawkins, I don't think, is very good. I don't think the center's very good. I don't think any of the old linemen really knock people off the ball. You know, is that a fair statement?
Vinny, here's the thing, and again, I will never, ever question how you see things or analyze things. And I would tend to agree that I don't always see, let's say, all-pro performance, but this is what I would say. I think their pass protection, I start there, because although they were entering that Jacksonville game, a team that was not throwing the football much, they were like near the bottom of the league in pass attempts. That doesn't put a lot of pressure on your line to protect well. But when they've had those circumstances, you don't see situations where Josh is really forced to move because of that. He ran a lot in that Arizona game, but it wasn't pressures that was forcing, a lot of it that were forcing him out. A lot of it was design run packages. I think this offense, very different, definitely very different than what they were doing through last season, even with Joe Brady as the interim OC through the second half of the season. Pass game that then evolves into allowing the run to open up. And then you saw that in classic form against Jacksonville.
Vic, what I see in the offense and what helps the protection in my mind is they get rid of the ball so quick. Everything's quick, whether it's just Shakur throwing to the backs. I mean, because they do have a lot of yak yards. So that's one of the things, that I see a lot of is quick throws and then boots. Get him out of the pocket a lot too.
Yeah, you nail it. That was the other part of the explanation. Is Josh is helping his own cause in protection a lot.
Yep.
By the quick throws, and you saw how they worked that Jacksonville game on that first drive. Those outside throws, very Chiefs like, just throw it to the sides either way, and those receiver type screens force the defense to continue to separate, to continue to honor enough of those interior or shorter intermediates in coverage to where the point is, then they loosen up. And then you're handing off to Cook or the constant worry of Josh pulling it down and running themselves.
Now, when I watch the defense, Vic, I think it's a really good matchup for the Ravens' run game against them, just because I don't see a lot of big guys. An Ed Oliver, outstanding player, but he's a jump-around guy. And then, like, the linebackers are little, and they're not real physical guys. So I see them, and you got a 250-pound running back who's better than any, bigger than any linebacker that you know, Buffalo has. That's kind of what I think the Ravens are, match up really good against Buffalo, and I think they're going to have success running the football.
I would tend to agree. We've seen pretty much for the first couple of games, Arizona and then Miami, the ability of those teams to run pretty well. And you saw in that Miami game, one of the co-leading tacklers for Buffalo was DeMar Hamlin. So you've got safety with 10, credited with 10 tackles. That's a sign of something that you don't like to see against the run. That said, they did such an effective job denying the passing game or forcing either a lot of mistakes against Miami, or in the case of Jacksonville, I mean, just nothing going, but a lot of that is Trevor Lawrence's incompetence, I think.
Yes.
But I think they're a team that will first try to lean on its ability to either stop or discourage you from making the plays in the pass, and then force you to try to make your living on the ground. I'm not sure, as much as the Ravens have a different design than anybody because of how they try to incorporate Lamar and whoever the back is. Obviously, we know it's Derrick Henry now, but I'm saying through the years, through those MVP seasons, that's really the basis of it all. And I'm not positive it will work. I know what you're saying about the smallness of the defense, and a lot of defenses in the league are getting smaller because they're playing that two deep shell, that four deep coverage. Here's the thing that I just want to point out to you. Anytime, and I've noticed this as a pattern with Sean McDermott, anytime he's met the media during the week and talked about something great about the opponent, with Miami, he was talking about Hall of Famers at the receiver position. With Jacksonville, how great their D-line, their edge rushers were. Yesterday, he's gushing about Derrick Henry, Hall of Famer, unbelievable, how many years he's been in the league. He's getting to that savvied coach speak point to where you're saying, that tells me they're very confident Henry isn't going to beat him.
Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio, joining us. Biddy and Haney, last thing for you. Vic Carucci, 3-0. Do you view this as surprising? At Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets, what will the next three weeks say about this, air quote, surprising team?
Right, and this is where we're going to find out. These last three were not tests that tell you what are the Bills, but I will say confidently they are a team that we know has balanced offense, and that's not just running and passing. It's distribution, 10 different receivers catching balls, 6 different guys scoring touchdowns against Jacksonville. But I also think it's a defense that's had to rely heavily on its depth. And this is where, at some point, that's going to be tested. You lose Matt Milano. You lose Teron Johnson, you know, 2 All-Pros at their respective linebacker, nickel corner positions. You lose Terrell Bernard, a team captain at linebacker. You got to remake at safety without Micah Hyde, without Jordan Poyer, when they were at their best. They're certainly not bad at this stage of their careers. Or their athleticism. But I will say, Sunday night is the biggest test to date. I think it's one the Bills are going to be able to pass. And then beyond that, you know, Jets defense, interesting. Houston offensively and with Diggs there, interesting. But there's nothing I've seen of Buffalo versus what I'm seeing around the rest of the league that tells me Buffalo can't either compete with or be better than everyone left on their schedule, assuming there aren't any more injuries on Buffalo.
Vic Carucci, NFL Network Radio, longtime NFL correspondent. Vic, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game Sunday night. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thanks, Vic.
All right, guys. See ya.
Yep. There's Vic Carucci, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. American League East report coming up next. Vinny's film study of that Bills defense at 1 o'clock during NFL lunch. We'll do our picks as we look ahead to tonight's matchup. Dallas taking on the Giants. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, Real and Fantasy.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it, get your votes in, featured artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about an hour. Last night in the Bronx, Orioles beat the Yankees 9-7. Second straight win. First series win for the Orioles since early September when they beat the White Sox. Colton Cowser, 2-for-4, 3 ribbies. Gunnar Henderson, 3-for-5. He had a couple of ribbies. Zach Eplin scuffled. Didn't even factor in the decision, even though he had a big offensive output in his favor. 5 walks. He got the heave-ho. Jacob Webb, he got the win. Orioles were 8-for-16 with runners in scoring position. They started the game with 6 consecutive base hits, but they hold on because things got shaky there. Bowman at the back end. But the Orioles get the win. Keegan Agin picked up the save, his first in 2 years. Orioles are 88-70 on the year. They're 8-4 against the Yankees here. 2024, 44-33 on the road. Corbin Burns, last regular season start, 15-8, 295. He's been outstanding in September. Taking on Garrett Cole, 7-5, 367. Yankees, 92-66. They're 42-35. Yankees win tonight. They'll win the American League East. Detroit taking on, help me out here, Nolan. They got a game coming up tonight. Tampa at 110. If the Tigers lose, the Orioles get the number one wild card. If Detroit wins, then the Orioles have to win tonight. You get the drill. They're 4 up with 4 games left. They own the wild card tiebreaker over Kansas City. Both Detroit and KC are trying to hold off Minnesota. Last night, speaking of the Tigers, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, and Spencer Torkelson got things rolling early for the Tigers.
Oh. Yes!
Well, let NASA know that a rocket ship is coming your way. Bally Sports on the call. Spencer Torkelson, 2-run shot there as the Tigers win again, 7-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. They just continue to cook. They've been on fire for the better part of a month. Kansas City beat Washington yesterday, 3-0. Robbie Grossman, 2-run base hit, drives in a couple of key ones there. Minnesota beats Miami, 8-3. Carlos Santana double, drove in 3 runs there. Now, the Mets and Braves are rained out through the rest of this series, which is tonight. If necessary, they'll play a doubleheader on Monday. There's no more tiebreaker games. It's all about winning percentage, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what happens with both Atlanta and New York. We'll get to the standings here in a second. But this could loom large because one of them is going to be a wild card team, perhaps, and then you're back at it the very next day because the wild card round starts on Tuesday. Now, you got Kansas City taking on the Nats coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll keep you up to date on the score there. As we said, Tampa Bay is at Detroit. That's coming up at 1:10. Miami's at Minnesota coming up at 7:40. San Diego's at the Dodgers, still slim hopes of catching L.A. in the West. That's a 10-10 first pitch. Your standings update. Divisions. Yankees still trying to win the East. They're 4 up on the Orioles. 4 to go. Cleveland's already clinched the Central. Houston's clinched the West. Phillies clinched the East. Milwaukee's clinched the Central. Dodgers are 3 games up on the Padres out there in the West. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, but we're getting close now, Orioles are the number one wild card. Kansas City would be number 2. Detroit would be number 3. Minnesota would be on the outside looking in. They're 2 back. Seattle still only 2.5 out. Boston was eliminated finally last night behind Kevin Gausman. And the Blue Jays, and all I've been saying all week, just go away. They're gone. Bye-bye. Another playoffless year for the Red Sox. Out West, San Diego's number 1. Mets are the number 2 wild card because they are ahead of Arizona. But Atlanta's only a game back. So still plenty of baseball with playoff ramifications on the line here for sure. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL lunch. We talked about, Vinny did, the Bills offense earlier in the show. Josh Allen playing like the MVP of the league through 3 weeks. But what about that defense? Can they pose problems for the Ravens? How could they pose problems for the Ravens? Coming up at 8:20 on Sunday night, we'll get to the schedules for both college and pro football. Week 5 college, week 4 NFL, and we'll do our first pick of this week as Dallas takes on the Giants, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. And then we'll talk real and fantasy football with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Something tells me Devin Singletary could have a big game tonight for the Giants. Does Mike agree?